A teachable moment about the world economy, courtesy of a hard drop in the price of gold this morning. From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. By mid-morning Eastern Time, gold was down 2.1% under $1,108 an ounce. Why today may have something to do with a rising dollar, but reasons for gold's decline more broadly are a reminder about where we are with this global economy here in the midsummer of 2015. Jeffrey Cleveland is chief economist at Payden & Riegel in Los Angeles. Good morning to you.
Good morning, David.
So the plunge in the price of gold today, specifically, a little mysterious, but help me with the bigger picture. Remind us of what the broad argument was for gold over the last few years.
Remember, David, holding and buying gold was supposed to protect you from many of the calamities that were set to befall the world economy. Things like the money printing by global central banks that was going to spark hyperinflation, the decline in the dollar, maybe the dollar would be removed as the world's global reserve currency, and you need to preserve your spending power. So gold was supposed to hedge you against that. And many of those things, as we've noted, have not come to fruition. We're in so-called strong dollar environment, and that theme has gained some further strength this last week on the backs of perhaps speculation that the Fed could raise interest rates. Higher interest rates also probably are a detriment to holding a nice shiny rock that doesn't pay you a coupon, David.
Now, you do see the dollar up again in the last couple of days. In fact, a euro costs just $1.08 as I checked this morning. And I take your point about hyperinflation. Unless you're paying rent somewhere, which seems to be going through the roof, generally price is quite stable, helped in part by oil, right?
Yeah, that's right. And I think the rent in particular is not due to the falling purchasing power of your dollar. It's because we're just probably not building enough units yet. And that will be the direct aid to renters, not so much gold coins.
All right. Always good to talk to Jeffrey Cleveland at Payden & Riegel in L.A. Thank you so much.
Thank you, David.
There is news this morning that Defense Contractor A is selling the maker of the Black Hawk helicopter to Defense Contractor B. Lockheed Martin is paying $9 billion to get Sikorsky from United Technologies. Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein says there will be antitrust questions from the Pentagon in particular.
The Department of Defense, which has business with both firms, has said it's important to, quote, maintain competition and avoid market distortions. And while the Pentagon could block the deal, according to Reuters, Lockheed doesn't build helicopters, so the merger is less of a concern. It is worth pointing out, though, that this purchase would only make Lockheed that much bigger than its largest competitors, Boeing and Northrop Grumman.
Dan, thank you. The helicopter company at the center of this was founded by Igor Sikorsky, a Russian emigre back in 1925, who pioneered multi-engine planes and amphibious aircraft. United Technologies stock is down 0.3% now. Lockheed Martin is up 0.5%. We're also following news that the first grocery store chain in America just filed for bankruptcy protection, the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, A&P. You may know it as Pathmark, Food Emporium, Walbaum's, or Fresh, Superfresh, of course. There are 34,000 employees, and Reuters reports the company is exploring a sale of many of those stores to rivals. Walmart and Costco have been hurting traditional groceries from below. Whole Foods has been doing it from above. One of the goals of health reform is to cut costs by keeping patients healthy through preventive care. But that approach leans heavily on routine care from family doctors, who are now in short supply. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Sarah McCammon reports on a program that is trying to fast-track primary care doctors through medical school.
It's a muggy summer day in Savannah, Georgia. But inside the cool hallways of Memorial Hospital's pediatric unit, Mary Keith is making her rounds, checking on a 7-week-old patient.
We just want to make sure he's completely okay before we are able to send him home, but it looks like he is going to be able to go home today. Okay?
Keith is a family medicine resident at Mercer University, but unlike most students, she spent just 3 years, not 4, in medical school before starting her residency. That was appealing, she says, but
when I came into medical school, I knew I wanted to do family medicine, so it kind of seemed like a no-brainer to me to have a fast track into a good family medicine program.
The accelerated family medicine program cuts out some electives, like clinical experience in ear, nose, and throat, or pulmonology. Still, students like Keith will save about $60,000 in tuition and start earning a salary a year early.
One of the things that helps the students choose what discipline they want to go into in medicine is funding.
Dr. Robert Palais is chairman of the Department of Family Medicine at Mercer. He says if you can cut the length and cost of med school, more students will consider primary care over a higher-paying specialty.
You talk to medical students, a lot of them don't really want to admit that money is the reason behind their choice of a specialty, but we all know that that's real.
Especially, he says, when they know they'll be graduating with hefty student loans. Texas Tech University has a similar fast-track program, and a number of schools around the country are looking at this model. Dr. Rich Hawkins of the American Medical Association says this approach could help solve the primary care doctor shortage.
But a caution is just making sure that when students graduate early from medical school, that they're ready to graduate.
And if they're not, Hawkins says, helping them gain the skills they need before they're allowed to practice. The three-year model could catch on. The AMA is looking at ways to improve medical education in general, including accelerated training for some students. The state of Georgia recently approved $1 million a year to expand Mercer's program. In Savannah, I'm Sarah McCammon for Marketplace.
And an Uber-style so-called sharing economy company that schedules people to clean homes will shut down. According to a blog post from the CEO, HomeJoy will close by the end of this month. The reasons stated are vague, but HomeJoy is being sued for allegedly not offering proper employment benefits. There's also been criticism that HomeJoy allegedly overpromised cleaners how much they would earn. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.